From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon, 106 as we hit the record button. Today we'll talk about the key points of Lane Kiffin's Monday media gathering over Zoom, as we always do. We'll look at lines for the week and more on the show, as we're with you a normal amount of time today. The show is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. You can get the SpeedPass Plus app right there on your phone. Download it, use it. It's a very efficient way to get your fuel and move on with your day. At any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, including the Oxford Exxon, you can stop in the C-Store there with Blue Sky. You get a lunch special for $5.69 every single day. Two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. You can go into the barbecue hot case and more. So, again, all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi, up and down I-55 and throughout the state, including the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Just, there's going to be a quick little burp there on the YouTube stream, because I switched from one Wi-Fi to another. This computer automatically switches back sometimes.
It likes the other one a lot more, doesn't it?
Well, it just goes to it as a default, but it's fine. We're all good. Coming to the Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done. And that's get into a Clark Ford. You'll love the product. You'll love the service. Corey really wants to be your car guy. He really wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove to you what that means when you make the call. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place this weekend to hang out. Maybe after the game, Ole Miss and Auburn at 11 a.m. Vaught-Hemingway. Be games on that afternoon, Alabama, Tennessee. I guess there's, I've got the schedule here in front of me, South Carolina, LSU, Kentucky, Missouri, Michigan, Minnesota. Big Ten get started now that they have cured myocarditis. So there's a lot for you to watch. Probably shouldn't say these two words out loud, but it's technically true. The World Series will be going on this week, the Rays and the Dodgers. So a lot for you to watch there at Rafters Music and Food. Hang out, enjoy your friends, enjoy the great food, drink specials, and more there at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to Lane Kiffin in a second. I thought a very healthy place overall. Watched Braves-Dodgers last night, and I was kind of chuckled to myself, because 10 years ago would have been stressed out, freaked, absolutely losing my mind on every pitch. When the base running gaffe happened there in the sixth or whatever inning it was, I mean, would have thrown things at the TV. It would have been bad. And I watched it last night, and I said, you know, I want the Braves to win, but when it's over, I'm going to turn it off and I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm not going to be impacted whatsoever with the proceedings today. To a point where I was almost kind of proud of myself and glad that my life is here, because look, I get it. I'm not even making fun here, but Stephen Godfrey yesterday or the day before had a thread on Twitter where he was talking about how he wasn't going to have his child watch the game. And basically his point was, he is so emotionally invested in these games. Atlanta has lost so many in a row that essentially he did not think he wanted to put his kid through that. He did not want to have his kid grow up in a situation where he constantly feels like his mood and self-esteem is wrapped around some professional sports franchise of any type. And he said he did not think
or
he
any
was
team
do it.
For that matter.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, in general, he just decided he wasn't going to do that. And I get it. I'm probably going to write about it a little more, because I kind of got in my head a little last night as I was thinking about it, because we see it here. I mean, Ole Miss loses a game, and immediately after, the message board does this and this and this and this. I mean, there is a happy medium to all these things, and it is amazing, and I'm guilty of it over the course of my life, just how it not just changes your hour or you wanted something to do, but how it literally changes your mood and your week and your month.
I mean, it's
crazy.
Yeah. No, I went to bed in the fifth inning last night. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and saw who won.
Yeah.
I giggle about it sometimes because Carson, his probably his favorite team is Chelsea right now. He doesn't care. You know, like, he likes the Cubs. Cubs are fun. He watches them. Eh, when they lost, they lost. It's over. He didn't deal with all the angst and stuff. I've gotten better about it considerably. Like yesterday, you know, we had the Bears on. He had soccer from 2 to 4, so we left at 1:30 to get him to soccer, and he got back in the car, and he goes, who won? I said, the Bears. He goes, what was the score? I said, 23-17, 23-16. He goes, oh, okay. Foles do okay? And I was like, yeah, he did fine. That was the end of it. And I thought, that's about the way to be about sports. And then I was laughing a little bit about our interaction with people on Saturday. It was juxtaposed to what was going on my phone in the family text.
Sure.
Where Campbell's like, that was so much fun to go to the game, blah, blah, blah. She hadn't go to a lot of games. She said, that was a lot of fun. I'm glad I went. Thanks for helping me get the tickets. Appreciate it. And Caroline was like, who was in Fayetteville at the time, was like, who won? What was the score? You know, stuff like that. And it's just the total laid back nature of it is absolutely the way to be. Now, I don't want to encourage the world to be that way because that would put us out
of
business.
Love all of you guys. Love you.
But there is absolutely such a thing as being so wrapped up in it that it's not healthy.
But the sidebar of that, and really what was going on my mind last night, was thinking about Carly Ann or whatever, is you do want to, it had to be sports. This is cooking, this is crocheting, whatever. Whatever the bonding elements are with your kid. You know what I mean? You're watching the game, or you're doing this, or you watch Wheel of Fortune. Who gives a hell what it is? It doesn't matter. But whatever that is, but in a very healthy way. I don't know. I mean, because I was trying to think, and, you know, what events leading up, I feel like, yeah, sure, my favorite team's in the Super Bowl, NFC title game, Saints, whatever. But for the most part, I think it's just moments where I know will be talked about. That's what I want my kid to sit down and watch with me. Whatever,
sure.
Whatever that is.
Sure.
Whether it be a spaceship taking off. You mm-hmm. know, like, you know, in because I'm trying to think sports-wise to this point. I mean, she's only 4. She doesn't remember anything. But,
no.
You know, I wanted the memory when Tiger Woods was winning the Masters. Hey, just come over here for a minute. This is kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I can go, hey, well, you did actually see that. You were 3 and you don't remember it. But, hell,
right.
Whatever. But I don't know. I think that's the catch in it, is that fine line between just tradition in general, passing down the bonds, whatever, but keeping it at a point where it's not, hell, this is unhealthy. Like, I've got
oh,
issues
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons that I'm glad the Cubs won in 2016, beyond all the others.
Do wins make up for all the angst, though?
No, it makes it go away. I'll never be as anxious about the Cubs again.
Okay.
No chance. No way. For Carson, the moment that I think sports changed for him was when Kevin Durant left the Thunder to go to Golden State.
It was a business.
I think he realized, you know what, this is business. And now, I mean, I think this offseason coming up for the Cubs is going to put that into concrete. Like, we watched the first few innings last night. It was on, and he was like, I like the Braves a little bit. And I was like, really, why? And he goes, I just like some of their young players. I like Acuna, and I like Albies, and I like Freeman. And then he liked a couple of the Dodgers guys, and you realize he kind of likes baseball, you know.
Sure.
He was like that.
Well played, good game.
He's like, Bellinger's really, really good, and this was before he hit the home run and separated his shoulder celebrating it. But,
yeah.
You know, so we talked about Kershaw a little bit. I mean, you know, I think it's cool for anybody, whether it's baseball or science or anything else. I think it's always a good thing when you can recognize greatness, recognize that when you're witnessing greatness. And there's no question that when Kershaw's career is over, we'll look back and say that was greatness, in much the same way we do with Greg Maddux. But, yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, was it yesterday Carson said, who won the Ole Miss game? I mean, it shows you how completely out of touch with it he was. He wasn't even though he's included in the family text, he wasn't even keeping up with it. You know, I mean, he was out playing with his friends and whatever. And I thought, good for you. It's probably the way to be.
Oh, gosh. Did you get the sense? We don't know the answer to this. We probably won't know the answer to this till the weekend. You get the sense the game is potentially in trouble more than maybe last week from a COVID standpoint?
Maybe a little bit.
It's kind of where – I know it's just Monday,
yep.
So we got plenty of time for it to go in any direction. But it's just look, it's reading body language over Zoom. But
he was
I noticed
different today.
More frustration today.
He was different today. He's frustrated. I think if we're being honest here, he's frustrated with Ole Miss right now.
or the state or however. However that's
whoever, yeah.
However that's determined.
He is not pleased with the way that contact tracing is being done.
Yeah, you might have the exact quote. I was doing quick hits.
I haven't gotten that far in the transcription
yet. He was talking about how they've got positives this week over the last 3 days. He indicated it was a lot on defense, and he said that contact tracing is as much of an issue as positives. And Mama Sanogo said it was more of an issue than positives. But either way.
So the way this works for people out there is if you test positive, you're out 10 days. You can test your way out, as we saw with Nick Saban. Ross Dellinger had a really good story about this, about the soccer player at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. You can test your way out of a false positive. However, if you are put in the contact tracing department, you're 14 days, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Unless, I guess in theory, I mean, I don't know the answer to this, but common sense would say unless the positive case that puts you in contact tracing tested out of it.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
That would be the one way out of it, I guess. Because his point is they could be – because in theory it's until the possibility of symptoms or positives or whatever has subsided, yeah, you can have six negatives in a row and it keeps you in that bubble of being out. And it appears that whether it be state or school or what, I don't know the answer to that. I have no idea. However, it's different.
When is Auburn's open date? I know they have one on December the 12th like everybody else, and they've not missed a game yet. I don't know what their schedule is when they have an open date. Ole Miss has one coming up in 2 weeks, November the 7th.
The Auburn open date is November the 7th.
So, see, they could easily move that game. There's two mutual open dates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, reading Kiffin's body language – I mean, I don't know what I'd base this number on, but I'd give it a less than zero, I mean, a bigger than 0% chance that he doesn't think this thing gets played. I thought it was interesting that he didn't talk a lot about Auburn today. That could be that we didn't ask a lot about Auburn today, but
he typically does an intro on the opponent.
He does a back and then forth, and
he did a lot of back.
A lot of back, no fourth.
Literally none.
None.
He's going through it. He did not mention the Auburn Tigers today.
No, even when we asked about, you know, obviously defenses are going to look at the plan that Barry Odom and Arkansas had for Matt Corral and Ole Miss, and they're going to implement some of that. He still didn't. He mentioned that defensive coordinators in this league make a lot of money, but he never mentioned Auburn. He didn't say anything about, you know, Kevin Steele. And I know that Lane Kiffin knows Kevin Steele, and I know that Lane Kiffin has a lot of respect for Kevin Steele. I mean, I'd bet my life on it. So, you know, he didn't even mention that. So the more that I think about what was said today, the more that I think in his mind, might not happen.
Yeah. Now, looking back, yeah, we did a poor job because we talked about nothing but the back. But because all the questions were essentially directed.
Well, there's an obsession on our beat, if we're honest, about quarterback play. We spent a year on it last year. We're going to spend a year on it now. And the truth is the carrot got dangled that, Oh, Plumlee might play? Oh, well, let's ask seven questions about that. Wasn't literally seven. I'm being hyperbolic. But there's a section of the beat that covers this that is either obsessed with quarterbacks or obsessed with John Rhys Plumlee. And again, I have to say this for the gazillionth time. That's not me criticizing John Rhys Plumlee. It's just saying it's a big part of our beat right now. And looking back on the questions that we asked, and I was on there asking questions, I should have said, are you worried about the game Saturday? I didn't. Should have. Wish I had.
And he said, I don't know yet.
Would have been I think his answer would have been, I don't know yet.
Monday. We got two more tests after today.
I think Wednesday that's going to be the topic of conversation, unless this dies off in the next 48 hours, and I doubt if it does.
Yeah, it's looking at it here. He says, let's see. More COVID cases the last 3 days. It's becoming very challenging. This is not easy, and it keeps hitting us on defense. It's both active cases and contact tracing. The contact trace stuff is frustrating. They test negative over and over and still have to sit 14 days. Not all schools do it the same way. One school might play someone, and another school wouldn't. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And that literally could be a Mississippi Health Department thing. I have no clue there. No idea.
I sense that Kiffin's feelings are such – probably a little bit more like mine than some people's, which is I'm not minimizing the virus, but if you're testing negative and you may have had some loose contact tracing that ties you to someone who tested positive, after a certain period of time, if you're still negative, you're negative. You didn't get it.
Yeah. And it's that deal where the bigger issue is that everybody doesn't play by the same rules. You know what I mean? I mean, that's frankly what it comes down to more than anything else. Because 3 days, frankly, is not much of an incubation period. Now, look, everybody's going to survive. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying you're probably not testing positive within 3 days.
So if they haven't tested positive by Friday, though, is my point. Yeah, they should be allowed to play. You know, that's the problem is this two-week thing is insane. The 14-day thing.
Well, the 14 is more than even the person who gets it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you test positive, you're 10.
Yeah.
But if you're around somebody and they prove that to be the case, like Carson tells the stories, it's from school where over the intercom they'll say, have little Jenny Johnson come to the, it's not the office, they have them go to the resource center. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. He goes, all the kids know that if you go to the resource center that you just got quarantined.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Because Carson was worried about one of the, I'll be careful here, there's a faculty member that there was a concern that he or she, I'm trying to protect people positive. Here, was positive and they had to go test. And Carson said, hey, Dad, if I get, just so you know, on Friday.
It could be a thing.
Yeah, it was another reason that I wasn't comfortable going to West Point Friday was because Carson told me that, hey, I might get the resource center call. Because if he or she has it.
The contact's been enough.
I had the contact.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Kids are going to, years from now, be telling stories about 2020 that are going to be so different than the stories we tell. Yeah, I got called to the resource center. Remember when you were a little kid, you got called to the principal's office and everybody was like, ooh, you're in trouble. Now when you get called to the resource center, it's up. You're quarantined. See you in 2 weeks.
It will be when they get in college and they're just sitting around one night and everybody's like comparing notes and telling the fish stories and the whole deal, and it's being whatever.
Well, and he talks about how different teachers are different ways with the mask, that some teachers are his word, Karens with the mask, and some teachers are like, whatever, just be cool, have it around you, have it near you. Bring a snack, eat it slowly. Very, very slowly.
I was, I'll protect the innocent. Never mind. Let's see. We got some, we'll go over odds today. I saw you sent those out earlier today. We got a Big Ten game or two in there, right?
We had a couple, because we only have four SEC games, and I had a fear that
we
might lose.
Starting this week.
Yeah, okay. That we might lose an SEC game. And so if we did, we were going to have some other games to pick.
Okay. So we'll get to those in a minute. For the others, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage. Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Rebel fans, tune into Reb Talk with the voice of the Rebels, David Kellum, on Thursday nights at 6. Be sure to submit your questions to Coach Lane Kiffin by visiting Facebook and searching Ole Miss Athletics to stream live each Thursday, 6 p.m. With fall upon us, now's a great time to start preparing for colder weather. No one wants to come home, find out their heating system isn't working. Our friends over at Comer Heating and Air have you covered. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust, brings more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience to Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Comer Heating and Air is offering a special fall preventative maintenance agreement to make sure your heating system is running in tip-top shape. Make sure to call Comer Heating and Air, 662-801-1777. For all of your heating and cooling needs, that's Comer Heating and Air, 662-801-1777. The podcast also brought to you by Jupiter Security Systems. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. And Jupiter Security Systems provides your business with the help desk, allowing you to get software at a much cheaper price than you would pay going directly to Microsoft or the different cybersecurity services. Jupiter doesn't see your data, but they know if malicious applications get installed on your computers. It's basically ADT for your computer systems and data. It's very affordable, flat price, no hidden add-ons. Call Eric at 601-519-9583 or email info@jupitersecurity.net. Also brought to you by the College Corner, your one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. You can visit the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. So through the month of October, mention Rebel Grove at checkout. You'll get 15% off your entire purchase. You can also use that online. Just put Rebel Grove in the coupon tab at checkout. And mentioning Jackson, a great place to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch in Jackson is the Iron Horse Grill. It's located at 320 East Pearl Street. So make the Iron Horse Grill part of your next stop in Jackson.
Looking here real quick before we get into the lines. Let's see. Week. Which team? I was just curious about something real quick.
Yeah, Leif mentions the Ole Miss Auburn line. It was like 9.5 at one point, and then it was 3.5.
Was that an early, though, like summer line we got?
I don't know.
Like we get tricked by that a lot with the SEC game.
It was on Odd Shark when we were taping.
Yeah, they're G-Pets. The ones that we've had a hard time with. I'll go check some other places. That's the one where we're having the difficulty with the early versus the week of lines, for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's 3.5 right now.
Is it? Okay.
Best of my knowledge. 3.5, 4, somewhere there.
That's yeah, sure.
It's probably about right.
Lakia Henry graded out a 95 by
really?
Football Focus this last week. Yeah. Ole Miss only with 4 players above 70, but Lakia 95. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Pretty good in everything. He also tackled at 77, which for Ole Miss is.
I thought they tackled better.
They only on the books, they only missed 11 tackles.
Yeah. I thought they tackled better.
16, 11, 21, 11, 4 weeks in missed tackles. Pretty sure that's right.
What Frank's grade out at, out of curiosity?
Let's see. Arkansas. Offensive grades. Felipe Franks, 58.2, which is average. That's not anything crazy. Let's see. Hold
that's on. What he does.
He's average.
Yep.
Pass direction and pressure. Let's see what he do. He hit a lot of throws he should have hit. That's what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, 14 of his 21 completions were within about 6 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Had the one really good pass and catch into the end zone. The kid made the one-handed catch. That was a hell of a play.
He didn't hit anything over 20 yards all day, and in between 10 and 20 yards, he was 1 of 2, 3 of 7, 1 of 2 across the across the field.
Yep.
Well, look, that's the thing. I mean, look, Arkansas is much better coached. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. They essentially got 9 turnovers and almost lost the football game. I mean, in a way, the credit probably does have a little bit of a thing there.
They did. You can do that 2 different ways. I mean, there's a couple of things that you can do there. It's one of the reasons I hate when we do a whole lot of that, because you could do this both ways. They could turn around and say, yeah, and if dude doesn't drop the ball, Boyd doesn't drop the ball,
yeah, sure,
it's a touchdown and you guys don't get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could say, and we downed it at the inside the 5 there at the end. We could have run that thing in and won by 19.
Sure.
So it just goes both ways. It does. At the end of the day, the bottom line is this: you cannot commit that many turnovers and expect to win a football game. You just can't. And they did. It's one of the things I'm writing about. I'm writing about it a lot today, is that kind of listening to Kiffin talk about it, I thought it was interesting that they, either from a staff standpoint or from a corral standpoint or both, they couldn't get Matt to understand they're dropping 8. You're going to sometimes have to take what the defense gives you. Take what they give you. A lot of check downs. Check downs.
Yeah.
Check it down. Go through your progressions. Quit trying to make a play. One of the interesting things that he said was he got away with a couple of things against Alabama, and that probably got him a little too confident. There's a difference between confident and cocky, and he may have gotten cocky. He tried to make a couple of throws, looking somebody off and then throwing back, and didn't see that somebody had slipped in there in a zone. And, you know, Kiffin was quick to say this again today, and he's right. Arkansas played a very smart defensive game. very steady, consistent. They never wavered. They dropped eight, brought three.
And Ole Miss didn't run the ball enough to get them out of it.
And Ole Miss couldn't. And
they
early
kept throwing into it.
Well, Ole Miss's plan early was to run the football. To run the football. And they couldn't do it. So it goes beyond just, God, Matt Corral was bad. Whole game was on Matt Corral. That's not the case. Early in the game was on the offensive line getting beat. And then, like Kiffin pointed out, and you and I talked about it during the watch party, there were a lot of drops.
And just receivers not fighting.
Yeah.
To break up picks, to get in your route, to
show some fire. Some lazy routes.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Matt Corral had a bad game. He had, in his words, an unacceptable game. But if you're out there,
it was on everybody. Yeah.
If you're out there pinning the whole damn thing on Matt Corral, you are kidding yourself.
Corral, let's see, I had that up a second ago. Typically, he'd been really wearing it out over 10 yards down the field. He was 1 of 6 deep for 23 yards and a pick. Three picks. Three of his picks came more than 20 yards down the field. And then really, between that 10 and 20 is where he's been good this season. He's lit people up. He was 2 of 2 for 31 and a score left. The middle of the field, though, which has been his absolute honey hole this season, 3 of 11, 55, 2 picks.
They took it away.
Yeah. 10 to 20 yards across the middle of the field.
4 games in a row now, Arkansas has had a plan, and they stick to the plan. They don't deviate from the plan. Their kids trust the plan and they ride it. And they're 3-1 right now. I know they're 2-2, they're 3-1. In their eyes, I promise you, they're 3-1.
Yeah, sure.
They're literally process right now. Gaining confidence, believing in a plan, play the plan.
Lane was very critical of the offensive line, so they just couldn't block on the goal line. They had a ton of communication issues that prevented them from running the football to help get them out of that 8-man drop that Arkansas was in. A lot of stuff there.
Well, that was the key. That's what set the tone early. Look, if you drop 8 and you consistently punish somebody running the football, they're going to have to bring people into the box, and that's going to open up the middle of the field. When you can't run the ball against a soft defense, it's tough. Kiffin made the point that they looked up like 10 times 3rd and 4 or more. Down in distance. You always hear coaches talk about staying ahead of the chains. When you're 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, you're not ahead of the chains. You're behind the chains. And now they're dropping 8. And on 3rd down, a kid like Corral, who's been playing, let's be real here. These are human beings. They're not, we get all the coach speak about, we trust the defense. We're all one team. We trust the offense. We're all one team. That's utter BS. They know the defense hadn't stopped anybody going into this game. They know it. Alabama went for 723 yards. And so it's 3rd and 6. What's he thinking? Got to have it. Got to have a first down here. You watch an NFL game, you never see that. Why? Because quarterback loses his gig. NFL, 3rd and 7. They got you. Check it off. Get 4. Punt. Hey, it's not there. Check it off. Until late in the game where you have to have it now. You got to go for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's early in the game. Corral needed to check off, dump it off to a back. Maybe you don't get a first down, and maybe you have to punt. But in his mind, he's thinking, you know he is. You know he's thinking, we can't stop anybody. And as that score starts to roll, 10 to nothing, 13 nothing, whatever it was, 20 to nothing, he's thinking, I got to have something right now. Got to have it right now. Force it, force it, force it. Now, in the 4th quarter, to me, those are the picks that are more egregious. I kind of get the first half mistakes. I get the mindset. It's in the
but
second.
The game has established itself by that
it's
point.
It's in the second half. You've got the football, and it's, 27 to 21?
Yeah, whatever.
And you've got the football in your hands, or 26 to 21, whatever 21. It was. Whatever it was. You've got the football in your hand, 3.5 minutes to go, and a chance to go win.
Yeah.
Well, now, you've got time. You've got all your timeouts. You've got 3.5 minutes. If they're going to drop 8, check it off. Let's get 6 here. Get 5. Get 6. Let's move. And then at some point now, you'll have to take a chance. But instead, he tries to force it right away. And 31, if I recall correctly, jumps in front of it. And pick six, and Arkansas's turning the jukebox on. You know, I mean, that's simple as that. That's on him. That's the part that, to me, was some of the picks late. That one in particular, the next to last one, is the one that's the one that where you want to go, what are you doing? The last one, you're desperate again. You got to, you can't check off now. You're 12 down.
Yeah.
That's, hey, I'm going to go throw a ball down the field. And
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I excuse that one even. It's that next to last one is the one that tells me he wasn't engaged in the right way mentally. He wasn't in the right frame of mind with what he was trying to do. And that's where it's a young quarterback, and you got to learn from it. And it's Kiffin talked about this a lot today, about yesterday, hey, he was really down, and it was a rough film. I give Kiffin a ton of credit. I mean, we get a transparency that we've never gotten before. He's like, yeah, the film was bad. It was bad. I mean, sometimes
– not many coaches are going, yeah, he had a bad day.
Yeah, a lot of – you know, he said sometimes, you know, when you see a quarterback throw a bunch of picks, you watch the film and it's like, well, a receiver ran a wrong route, a ball got tipped, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, he's good. Don't worry about it. He's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, you know, he goes, sometimes that happens, you know, just bad luck. Sometimes you just have bad luck. You know, sometimes a hitter will go 0 for 4, and he's like, shit, I crushed four balls today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just at him.
Yeah.
Shortstop made a great play. Center fielder took one away from me in the gap. Blah, blah, blah. This wasn't one of those games. This was a bad game. And he said, so, you know, he told him, embrace the suck. Embrace it, because we got to get better.
Yeah, he essentially, he said that he was trying so hard to look off receivers that he was losing his reads. That he was trying to look one way, throw another way. When you do that, he's missing the other dude that's going across the field and going into the zone and picking the ball off.
Martin D. says in the stream that Kiffin said he should have played JRP. I don't remember him saying it like that.
That was not what he said. He said had he known Corral was going to throw six picks after the third one, whatever, but that he believed in his quarterback and thought that gave him the best chance to win the football game was to leave Matt Corral in.
Yeah. I mean, listen – oh, I'm not going to do it. There's no point. Never mind. There's no reason to open that door. You've got to be careful when you're a guy like Kiffin right now with a guy like Corral. You've got to see if this can be a growth moment. I mean, there are plenty of young quarterbacks, and Corral is absolutely a young quarterback. There are plenty of young quarterbacks who have had egregious days. There's plenty of rookie quarterbacks that go into the NFL and have horrific games in their rookie years who end up winning Super Bowls. You've got to let your quarterback learn from this, because it might end up being the best thing that ever happened to him. Now, it could end up being the worst. It could zap his confidence and get in his head, and then it's over. But it could also be the great learning experience that moving forward, when you actually start playing games in seasons that count, you learn from it. This could be a big maturation moment for Matt Corral. This is a big week for Matt Corral.
It is a big, huge week.
Yeah. You can learn from it, bounce back from it, and it'll make you a better player. Failure can be a really good thing.
But his defense is going to go into the game with some confidence. Now they've got to get a little pass rush, just something. I mean, the way they got dominated at the front with only four rushers, because it's just tough. But nonetheless, we'll see.
Well, it's not what he said, Grind. What he said was if he had known, basically, if the football gods had come down and told him at three picks, hey, he's going to throw three more, maybe he thinks about making a change.
Yeah.
But
what he was saying was Matt Corral gave him the best chance to win the football game.
It's the reason that
that's what he was saying.
It's the reason he's their quarterback. If there was another quarterback that he thought could come in and win the football game, you go to him. But look, you take Corral out in the third quarter and put Plumlee in and nothing gets done, now you have two problems. You've created a quarterback controversy around a program that is ripe for one, because you've got media who want one, need one. Won't let one go. And then you have all the other stuff. And again, and I've said this, and I'm telling you, I'm saying it because I'm right. You can't sit down with a kid right now and do film. I guess you can do it virtually, but that's difficult. You're putting a product on the field that not only is your product on the field, but it's the product that you're projecting to prospects. So when you're talking to a Luke Altmyer, a Ty Simpson, a Arch Manning, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to push the ball down the field. We're going to run these routes. We're going to run a pro-style offense, blah, blah, blah. You got to do it. You can't say you're going to do it and then run the damn veer.
We have a couple Arkansas fans in our stream today.
Yeah, if you're looking for the Homer thread, this is probably you've probably come to the wrong place.
Going to struggle with material
You're not going to get much.
Jeez. All right, look at some lines. Nebraska and Ohio State, that baby opened. See, I think these are some summer lines. Let me go to Vegas Insider. They're doing a better job with this because some of this stuff's jumping like
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, Odd Shark was not updated very well today at all.
All right, first up, and I don't know, what other games other than SEC do you have on our list?
Nebraska at Ohio State, and I saw it at 25, and it might be a different number.
Okay, what else you got? I'll get there in a second. I'm just curious what else to stop on.
Iowa State, Oklahoma State, okay. Michigan, Minnesota,
okay,
Cincinnati, SMU.
All right, so let's see. Let's look at some lines. Wisconsin opens as a 19-point favorite against Illinois this weekend. Not on the list, I know, just Big Ten game.
Yeah.
Let's see. Florida State and Louisville. Louisville opened as a 9-point favorite. Now they're a 5-point favorite. What was the final of North Carolina, Florida State? Florida State won,
Florida
right?
State won by two, yeah. I think.
Okay. Longo struggled there at the end. They scored a lot of points. What happened?
My guess. They both scored.
Okay. They were down big early and kind of had a little comeback, but didn't pull it off. I think Alabama at Tennessee, this one opened at 20. It's now at 21 is where we have Alabama and Tennessee this weekend.
To me, that's pretty easy money.
You like them to cover that line?
I like the points.
It's in Knoxville, though.
I don't care.
Okay. Just 63 is the total on this one.
Got to give Alabama's offense a ton of credit, man. That is one elite offense. They are special. There's nothing they can't do.
It's the best set of wide receivers as a whole they've ever had.
Yeah, with a big-time back, some good guys behind him, and a quarterback who was playing high.
Yeah, Najee Harris is not their best back they've ever had, but he's plenty good enough with everything else going on around them.
Yeah, most every other team in the SEC, if offered Najee Harris, would say, yeah,
sure.
We'll be happy to take him.
But I don't think he's Derrick Henry or Mark Ingram at the college level.
No. No. But few are.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean,
those are Heisman winners.
Bama's stable of backs is pretty good over the time. I mean, you go, hey, well, he's no Trent Richardson. Well,
yeah,
hell,
that's
okay,
like he's right. No Cam Newton. Well, who is?
Yeah, sure. Phil Longo gets Dave Doran this weekend. North Carolina State, North Carolina.
That's a close line too.
It opened at 18. It's now at 16.
Oh, is it down that? Okay.
Yeah, that's where it's at. Let's see. Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. Virginia Tech by 8. In your route of the day, considering Liberty whipped up on Syracuse. Syracuse is at the other Death Valley. They're in Clemson this weekend. Oof. 45 on that line. And I would think I would take Clemson to cover that.
Unless they just get bored.
Liberty ran for over 300 yards in the third quarter last week. I don't know what the number ended up at. But
wow.
So you can run at will against the Orange, apparently. Let's see. Virginia and Miami. Miami minus 11 against the Wahoos. Virginia's bad, right? Like, aren't they pretty bad?
Yeah, they're struggling.
Bronco Mendenhall, still there?
Yep.
Okay. Tulane coming off a tough overtime loss to SMU this past week. That was the Thursday or the Friday game or whatever day it was. They are in Orlando. They play Central Florida. UCF by 20 is a line on this one.
Okay.
That feels a little high, but nonetheless. UCF Tulane there. Houston plays Navy this weekend. 13-point favorites for the Cougars. Michigan State and Rutgers. Michigan State minus 13. Nebraska and Ohio State. It opened at 23.5. It's now at 26.
Okay. I had it at 25, so that's okay. Cool.
We're within the margin. Iowa, a little black and gold on both sides.
Yes, sir.
They're in West Lafayette this weekend.
Big
playing
game.
Purdue.
Game of the week.
You don't have it on the list, though?
No, it's too emotional.
Okay.
I'm so wrapped up in it emotionally that I just couldn't do that.
Iowa opened as a 3.5-point favorite. They're now a 4-point favorite at Purdue this weekend.
Well, Jeff Brohm's out with COVID.
Is he?
Yeah. He had chills over the weekend.
He might test negative three times.
There was a whole story about him testing positive, and he had sweats.
Okay. I didn't see that. Baylor and Texas.
This is what we wanted, right? We wanted coaches who had chills and sweats. Well, here we are.
Baylor and Texas. Texas minus 9 this weekend on that one. Dave Aranda's had a rough time with the Bears so far, right?
It's year one. Year zero.
Year zero.
It's year zero for Dave Aranda. He's in the same spot Kiffin's in. Same spot that a lot of these guys. And if you didn't have a chance to do your program.
Trying to establish culture on the fly.
So you're, yeah, it's not normal.
I guess that's true. Let's see. Oklahoma and TCU. Oklahoma only a 7-point favorite against Gary Patterson and the Horned Frogs this weekend in Fort Worth.
I'm guessing Lincoln Riley might listen when the NFL comes calling.
Is the NFL still going to come calling?
Probably. Okay. His stock doesn't fall. He's still an offensive guy that knows how to run an NFL system. You look at the success that Matt Rhule's had with Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped. That will offset the
Joe
struggles
Brady
that
running
Oklahoma.
The plays there in, yeah. in Carolina.
That will offset some of the issues that they're having. That was a really good NFL game yesterday, by the way.
Really entertaining game. It's 10-24. That is Saturday. Okay. In the American, Cincinnati's at SMU this weekend.
We've got that one. I've got it there. At Cincy minus 1.
It opened at 1. It's now at 2.5 SMU. SMU giving 2.5 to the Bearcats.
Wow.
So we got a little movement there on that one. SMU undefeated, I believe, still. If I have that right?
Dustin says we're all going to die, right, Neil? Yeah, I mean, eventually, yeah, absolutely. All of us.
There's not a better bet in the world.
I mean, I'm going to bet that we all die. Sad to think about, really, isn't it? That we're all sitting here talking and there's going to come a point where we're not.
Life is very finite and fragile. Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State opened at 4, now at 3.5, courtesy of the Cowboys. Where you got that one at?
I've got Iowa State plus 3.5.
Yep, exactly where it's at right
yeah.
now. So that's good. Auburn and Ole Miss. 9 was the summer line. This game has opened on the week at 6, and it is now at 3.
Okay, I got it at 3.5.
Okay, so Auburn favored by 6 on Monday or Sunday. Now they are favored by 3. And the over-under has moved a good bit, too. It started at 70.5, and it's down to 66.5. So four points have come off the total. In the last day.
66 points. That's a lot of points. I think I'd go under a little bit.
You're thinking under?
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
It feels – I hate taking unders in general. They just kind of bug me. But I think I'm agreeing with you. I think. I want to see what Odd Shark has because they've been actually oddly.
They've got Auburn winning by
six.
6. Yeah.
33-27. Really 33-28 on decimal points, but
yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
33.1 to 27.8.
So they've got an under.
They do have an under, yes. That is correct. If you'd like a money line right now, you don't get great value on this one. To bet Auburn, you would have to bet 155 to win 100, and if you want to bet on Ole Miss, you could bet 100 and win 135. So
okay.
Pretty small money lines there.
Yeah.
On those two teams. Two teams that we have not really discussed all year, and there's no necessarily reason to. West Virginia at Texas Tech. West Virginia minus 3 in this one.
Yeah, I've got that one for Campbell and Greg.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, added 3 games to them. I've got them doing Notre Dame at Pitt, West Virginia at Texas Tech, and ULM at South Alabama.
Okay. Take a little quick break in it to tell you about G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. You can get your immune support med packs either place. Pharmacy developed combinations of vitamins and supplements designed to boost your immune system and lung health. 30-day supply of vitamin C, zinc, NAC, probiotic, and vitamin D3. It's a great combination of over-the-counter supplements for you. Again, Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs, G&M there on South Lamar in Oxford, delivered locally in the Oxford area. You can give them a call. You can stop by 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Dead Soxy. It's deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com. Check out all of their new no-shows. They've got some great new traditional dress socks as well. All the styles, all the comfort. They stay up. You will never have to reach down and pull your socks up. They're the best socks you'll put on your feet. Stay Soxy, deadsoxy.com. Also brought to you by our friends at Blue Delta Jeans. Don't forget, if you're coming to town this weekend and you want to make an appointment, you can. They're open 10 to 6. But if you want to make an appointment that's outside of those hours, you can do it. info@bluedeltajeans.com or get into their social media and drop them a direct message at Blue Delta Jeans. We'll be taping A Mind on My Money tomorrow. That's brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 24 states, got advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses at much and much more. It's PinTrust.com, P-I-N-N-Trust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fees. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling in the holiday season, you're already thinking about next summer, you want to get away, get out, and sort of put the whole pandemic behind you, you can do that. Get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, let him know kind of what you're thinking of, and then he'll give you options. And you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Let's see, getting back into the lines, where we at? Memphis giving 13 to Temple this week. Kansas and Kansas State, that is where Kansas State is giving 18 to Les Miles and the Jayhawks. South Carolina and LSU, this one surprised me a little bit from a line standpoint. I'm going to be a sucker, but it seems like a no-brainer for me a little bit. Unless Auburn is really, really bad, LSU opens giving 7 points. Now yeah. They're at 6.5.
Yeah, I've got it at 6.5.
Okay, that's where it's sitting right now, too. I'll take my touchdown there. And just see
yeah, I think I'll take the Gamecocks in 6.5.
LSU may win, but I'm having a hard time believing they're going to blow them out right now.
And I don't think Brennan's playing.
He's questionable at the moment, yeah.
You know, for all the criticism of him, he was really good in Columbia. He wasn't the reason they lost to Missouri.
Sure, yeah, of course. They scored a lot of points. I mean, they got beat, what? What was the final?
45-41, something like that. 49-45, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. Your ULM team is in Mobile this
fighting
weekend.
Warhawks, baby. Fighting Warhawks. We've between COVID and academic rigors, it has been a really tough year on the Bayou. We have struggled.
They're getting 15 this week.
Yeah, yeah, getting 15. You know, we have the heart of a champion, and so we'll figure this out.
Northwestern is at home in Evanston to open the season against Maryland, and they're giving 10.5 points to the Terrapins this weekend.
But again, I think it's important with the Big Ten games to celebrate not just that they're playing football, but to celebrate why they're playing football. The advancements that they've made in eradicating myocarditis is hallelujah. I mean, we are burying the lead
that
on this story.
They took 6 weeks over literally a flawed survey. Our study is...
No, they eliminated myocarditis.
Peak 2020. It's
over. They solved it. See, if we'll just give the public officials time, we'll settle all this. We will ultimately live in utopia where there is no pestilence and there are no ailments, and we'll all be fine.
Sounds like you read a page out of Orwell for a minute there.
Well, you know, Orwell wrote a book. And... if you go back and read that book,
Orwell wrote a book.
Let's just say that Orwell and Nostradamus, it's close.
Oh gosh. Let's see. Southern Miss. Hugh Freeze playing his alma mater this week. Southern Miss is in Lynchburg, Virginia.
You think Hugh's trying to impress the Golden Eagles, or?
Hugh's not going to Southern Miss.
No, I'm kidding.
Liberty's a much better job than Southern Miss.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Lots of resources and are paying out the tail for a Group of Five school. No, it's going to take a pretty decent Power Five offer to get Hugh out of Lynchburg. He's going to get one of those eventually. I don't know if he should or shouldn't, but he's going to. He is.
Trying to think where he could get
Hugh
a job.
Hugh Freeze is not out of the Power Five level.
He's not getting an SEC job, though, do you think?
He's going to be the coach at Virginia or NC State or something like that. ACC.
Yeah. ACC
feels
makes sense for
ACC.
Him.
ACC.
I've always thought Big 12 makes sense for him.
It does. That's fine. Sure.
You know, score a lot of points.
Yeah. Oh, man, hell, everybody scores a lot of points.
But now that he's been recruiting in that area, yeah. Virginia, something like that would make a ton of sense. I can't imagine Virginia would hire him.
Virginia's kind of buttoned up. Yeah. That might be a tough one. But
NC State would make some sense.
If you're Wake Forest, do you take the gamble?
Pretty
accurate. It's not a gamble on you.
I mean,
if you're Freeze, do you take Wake Forest?
Well, yeah, it's an ACC gig.
Well, okay, but it's the worst ACC gig.
It is. The question is, all of these places, when they dig in deep, are they really going to be willing to do this?
Yes. Somebody's hiring Hugh Freeze. It's not even a question.
All the past stuff doesn't haunt him?
Yeah, does Virginia go from Mormon to Hugh Freeze? I don't think it's Mormons. I'm just saying somebody who is very, like, wasn't a negative. I said it, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's not what I meant. Just speaking what I mean, like, somebody who, I mean, you are dealing with prominent religious person. I don't know. But yeah, look, if I'm Wake or Maryland, what?
Hugh Freeze is the ultimate demon deacon.
We holstered that one up. All right.
Life wins the internet for today. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah.
The internet is all yours.
No, look, if you're Maryland.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What the hell?
The question is, are you willing to take the PR beating that comes with
it? In today's world, when it'll be over in 72 hours?
Well, that's a good point. It doesn't
okay,
last
sure,
long.
So the weekend goes poorly. Okay, great. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Well, and this, all jokes aside,
I know.
This might be the late November to do it. No one might notice. I mean, there's a chance we're talking about recounts and ballot boxes and sex scandals and tapes and China and all that stuff. I mean, there's a real chance that these are all things that are being bandied about in our everyday vocabulary at the end of November. It might be the perfect time to fire a coach and hire Hugh Freeze and just have a press conference real quick and say, it's on Zoom, by the way. We're done.
Yeah, this. I think he's an ACC coach. Maybe even next year. I do. He's going to win a lot of games. He's undefeated or whatever right now. I mean, sure.
Demon Deacon.
Feel like that.
It's really good.
I mean, ACC, here's schools. Who needs a coach, potentially? Now, this is the thing on this year is I don't know that anybody needs a coach right now.
You don't know who needs Heppen?
Let's see. Louisville is not firing their coach, even though they suck. They're 0-4 in the ACC, 1-4 overall. Duke, obviously, whatever. Syracuse, Virginia. Wake's actually 2-2 overall. ACC's actually, everybody's kind of winning games.
Yeah.
They're beating up on the really bad couple teams, and everybody else is kind of okay. I don't know that there's a lot of coaching changes.
Well, and if you're losing money in basketball, you're not going to fire your football coach right now.
I mean, the ACC, frankly, the only schools that are just absolutely hating their programs right now, Syracuse and Virginia. I think that's it.
Yeah, and he's not taking the Syracuse job.
No, of course not. Like I said, Louisville has a new coach. I mean, Duke's Duke, whatever. They're not firing David for sure. Florida State just hired Norvell. Wake's 2-2. Everybody else is 500 or better. I mean, Pitt's played pretty good football this year.
Yeah, Pitt's
Georgia
okay.
Tech has Collins. I mean, Boston College is 3-2. Virginia Tech's 3-1. They like Fuente pretty well. I mean, yeah, I'm not a lot of options there in that league. I'm gonna get back to my where are my lines? There we go. Oh, let's see. Michigan and Minnesota. Michigan giving it actually opened at Minnesota -1.5. Now it is Michigan -3.5. Where do you have that one?
I've got Michigan -2.5.
Okay, so it's jumped up just a little more. So they're pretty good move there. 4 points on the 4 points on the movement in that one. I guess that's it. Nothing else really sticking out from a line standpoint. And
at what point do we talk about the NFC North? I'm kidding. It is amazing the difference that Foles makes for them. He makes them a very solid team.
I mean, play him once you paid him. I mean, duh.
He doesn't make mistakes. They're not dynamic, but they're pretty clean.
Yeah, sure.
And defensively, they're really good.
You get two Monday night games tonight. You get Kansas City at Buffalo tonight. That is a 4 o'clock central start, by the way. 4 o'clock there for the Chiefs and the Bills. And then you've got Cardinals and Cowboys as your nightcap. So,
yeah.
Cowboys' first game without Dak tonight in that one. Andy Dalton, correct?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So, Kyler Murray versus Andy Dalton in your nightcap.
What's the schedule next week in the NFL? I don't even know.
Week 7 in the NFL. God, we're only in week 7.
Yeah, we're moving.
You have a Thursday night game that is going to suck between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, that's ugly.
Those Thursday night games are just hit and miss and a whole lot more miss than hit. It's just the way the schedule works out. Then you got Lions at Falcons. Falcons won their first game, beat up the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. I'm sure all Atlanta sports fans were thrilled with the outcome of the day. Cleveland and Cincinnati are playing next Sunday.
Okay.
Here's a good one. Undefeated. Pittsburgh at Tennessee next
Sunday.
Ooh,
that is a good game.
That's a good one. Tennessee comes back to beat Houston yesterday. Fitzpatrick throws 4 touchdowns.
Titans are really good.
They know who they are, and here's the system
we're
running.
It was so funny to watch. So DK Metcalf tweets, because A.J. Brown had a huge catch in the final seconds.
Sure. And DK, he forced overtime with a touchdown catch.
DK tweets something along the lines of, low-key Titans fan here. And to watch the reaction from the people who couldn't understand what he was saying.
Oh, he got there was people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why would you say that? It's like, okay, slow down, ma'am,
one of his
sir.
Best friends plays for the Titans.
Just take a deep breath and think a minute. Yeah, and most people got it. Most people got it, and they're like, yeah, that's cool. You know, we'll save a spot for AJ here and blah, blah, blah. But the people that were like, well, I can't believe you'd say that. I've lost all respect for you. It's like,
what do you have against Houston? It's like,
settle down. Calm down.
So you hate Laramie?
So you're already trying to get out of Seattle, is that right?
It's like,
no, that's not it. No, the Titans are fun, man. He's playing really well, the quarterback. And you've got Henry, and now you've got weapons on the outside, and they're pretty good on defense. And I think Vrabel's one of the more underrated coaches in the league.
Do you like how much they're wearing Navy these days? Titans doing a lot of Navy.
Yeah, I think it might just be the Mike Vrabel personality. You wear the big manly color, and you play big manly football.
Not as much powder anymore for the Titans.
No.
They've been more Navy. It's growing on me. I kind of like it.
It's fine.
The powder is the accent. It's not bad.
Yeah.
There for Tennessee. Let's see. Carolina's at New Orleans. That game will be played in the Superdome. They said logistically they had no chance to get to Baton Rouge because of LSU plays a night game on Saturday night and then a Sunday.
But no fans, correct? Because it's
as of now,
it's not safe.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, as of
so
now,
so the Big Ten has solved myocarditis, but the Saints haven't.
No,
okay. I just want to make sure. So it remains a threat.
That's why it's a huge game for Buffalo today. They can they get another one next week. They go to the Jets next week, who are awful.
They're bad.
Abysmal. New York Jets not.
They're right now the leaders for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
Are they?
Yeah, because the Giants won a game.
True, and the Falcons won a game.
Yeah.
Dallas at Washington is next week. Green Bay's at Houston next week. Seattle's at Arizona next week. Good grief, bad football. Kansas City at Denver next week. San Francisco at New England. And then, let's see, Chargers hosting the Jags. Good grief.
So Bears have a weekend off?
No, I'll get to them in a minute.
Okay.
Tampa Bay at Vegas is next week. That is your NBC Sunday night game. Vegas actually playing pretty good right now. They're all right. And then your off teams are Colts, Dolphins, Vikings, and Ravens. Your Monday night game, Bears at Rams.
Bears at Rams. That's not a bad game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Next Monday night. Rams get a couple prime times in a row. They lose to the 49ers last night in Sunday Night Football. And then they will face the
they will face the NFC North leading Chicago Bears. Bear down.
They tied with the Packers right now.
I don't even know if they're tied. But the Packers have 2 losses?
I didn't think the Packers had lost
twice.
Maybe they have, though. I don't know.
I'm pulling up standings.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll tell you about Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com. They are in association with us on Oxford Eats every single Saturday during Ole Miss football weekends. And we do our hours-long live stream there with the food we're getting for the day. With Visit Oxford, you can go there and find out the way they are. They do the Oxford Oath as well as what all is coming up. From events, places to stay, places to eat, and more. 2 days from now, they've got a double feature. You got Harry Potter and the Neverending Story. at the drive-in on the 21st. That was going to start at 6:30, and Harry Potter movies are going to run somewhere around 2.5 hours, so it'll finish around 9, something like that. They also have Theater Oxford Presents It's My Party at the Powerhouse, the 22nd through the 24th. You know about the double-decker bus being in front of Visit Oxford 3 to 4 every home football weekend on that Friday. End of All Music is doing a balcony concert on Friday at 5 o'clock. You've got the Neverending Story is on Friday at the drive-in, 6:30 to 8:30 for that. And then Sounds on the Square and Ole Miss and Auburn on Saturday, 11 o'clock for Ole Miss and Auburn. And when you get done with that, if you'd like a movie that night at the drive-in, The Addams Family and Ghostbusters are doing a double feature.
Oh,
that
it's
night.
Not bad.
Yeah, good there.
Yeah.
Get that going on again. Visit OxfordMS.com.
I used to come home and watch The Addams Family.
Really? Any more Addams Family than Munsters?
I liked both.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't have a favorite?
No, I liked both of those. I liked The Flintstones. I liked Leave It to Beaver. I'm trying to think what were the other. I liked The Brady Bunch, if I'm just being totally honest.
Did you?
Yeah.
Brady Bunch over Happy Days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Happy Days was okay, but I was more Brady Bunch.
Okay. And you, that's all good before. You were already kind of college before like Wonder Years came out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Gilligan's Island, I was a big fan. Oh.
That was on
TBS.
Emotionally, every time, just that they're going to do it this time.
Well, you'd always think this is going to be the one. It's kind of like watching the Roadrunner and the Coyote. You'd think this is going to be the time that the Coyote finally gets the you know, bugs, or the Roadrunner, I should say. And he wouldn't get him. And you think, but
did he ever catch him?
Never caught him.
They didn't finish the series with him catching him or anything.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Good enough. Just curious. Yes, it is. It's two movies. It's The Neverending Story, second. Harry Potter, first. Yeah, that is not a Harry Potter movie. That's a good point. I apologize for that. Actually, though, which Harry Potter is it? I'm looking it up. Just to let you guys know.
Sorcerer's Stone.
It is the Sorcerer's Stone, actually.
How about that?
That is the first one, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, Order of the Phoenix, Deathly Hallows. No. Deathly Hallows, and I'm forgetting whatever maybe the last one is. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, I'm good.
I'm laughing at Tony in the thread. Yeah, whenever something like that would happen, you'd chuckle. Back in a more innocent time in American television, I'll tell you that.
Pretty
rough on the Beaver last night, don't you think? Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you give money to OU, when you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. It's also home to Kasasa's, the absolute best cash checking account. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances, up to $50,000 refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Also brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. She sponsors my mailbag, which will be up later on this week on Wednesdays. To be specific, 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by the law firm of Bain, Moss, and Bowen, located in historic Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. It's the only Mississippi firm made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth, or by calling them at 662-287-1620. My columns on Saturdays after games brought to you by Meadowbrook Wealth Advisors of Raymond James, a team in Jackson providing planning and investment guidance to clients across the state and surrounding areas. Financial advisors Bill Geary, Logan Phillips, Chris Carrero, and Ryan Geary are partners with a commitment to personalized excellence and service. So call them at 601-368-2215 and see if they might be a good fit for your financial goals. Raymond James and Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC.
Yes, the Half-Blood Prince is the one I forgot. Thanks for agreeing on that one. That is the sixth book prior to The Deathly Hallows for the seventh.
I'm impressed.
Are you? Couldn't have got through those?
I've not read them.
I've read all the Harry Potters.
Campbell read all the Harry Potters. Carson read all the Harry Potters. I don't think Caroline read the Harry Potters.
Really?
Nuh-uh.
I read a lot of weird. I mean, I there's nothing I won't give a shot from a reading standpoint. I mean, my catalog's pretty varied.
Speaking of half, by the way, the Bears have a half game lead over the Packers.
Does that really count? I mean, it really is tied. It feels tied.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it, and it counts because one team has a higher winning percentage than the other, and therefore they are in first place. I mean, the Bears are winning 83.3% of their games. The Packers are only winning 80% of their games.
Well, that is true.
So, first place.
Original Harry Potter book came out in 97, for anybody curious, which is probably just me, but I was still curious. Let's see. ESPN doing a college football awards kind of at the halfway point sort of things that actually happened. They're making fun of the fan. One of the things that actually happened after week one was KJ Costello as a Heisman frontrunner. Since then, MSU has scored a total of 21 points, and Costello has gotten benched in favor of Will Rogers.
Yeah, Costello had a rough go of it. Saturday.
Tennessee held the longest winning streak in the country at one point this season.
I know. It's going to be a while before they can say that again.
It feels limited at the moment. Just saying.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was doing the SEC thing yesterday where I rank them, and it was impossible.
I got
1, 2, 3, and 4.
And 14.
And I got 13 and 14.
Who's 13?
State.
Okay.
If you watch them, they're 13th. But then
it's just a big pile.
5 to 12. I was able to put them in two tiers, and even that was shaky. It's just kind of this homogenous glop.
Oh, look, between 3 or 4, depending on how you want to do it, and 12, anyone can beat anyone. You don't go into a game where you go absolutely freaking not.
No. Now, I do think beating A&M or Florida requires
something. It would require
something.
A lot of help, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that.
You could do 5 through 12 for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I did.
Yeah.
I think Texas A&M is and Florida are clearly third and fourth.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right? I think they're better than the other teams. How much better, I don't know, but better. Like if you told me that.
And now Florida's got to fix the little defense,
yeah,
though.
But like if you told me, for example, Arkansas, who we've watched a lot. If you said Arkansas played Florida 10 times.
Yeah, they're not winning.
They might win once.
Yeah, it's not much.
But if you told me that Arkansas played, I don't know, who's another middle-of-the-pack team?
I mean,
Auburn 10 times. Hey, Arkansas wins 3 to 5 of those games.
Because they've already won one.
Yeah, they won one of them, sure. Weird league. I mean, I think Missouri's capable of winning a couple of games. They're also capable of going, yeah. Now, LSU's the interesting team. Depending on what they do with Carolina.
They do have skill. Like they are recruiting-wise, yeah. Athletic. And, yeah. Yeah, sure.
And Carolina's interesting because they are, of the other 10 teams, 8 teams, whatever it is, they might be the one that has the most defined personality.
Kentucky, they're just so limited offensively.
Yeah. Good thing, because they're pretty good everywhere else. Yeah. Their defense is legit.
ESPN has Elijah Moore, the number 2 wide receiver in the country right now.
Behind Smith?
Jalen Waddle. Behind Jalen Waddle. They have Kenny Yeboah, the number 3 tight end in the country as of right now.
Okay.
Behind Kyle Pitts and Sean Dykes, Florida and Memphis, respectively.
Okay.
And that one.
Certainly can't argue with Kyle Pitts.
No. I would assume that's it all the way around. I'm just kind of scrolling through for anything. Yeah, nothing else. So, anyway, just a little thing there. Let's see. Is NFL going to fire like normal?
I think so.
They have enough money to.
I think
still,
so.
They'll fire like normal.
Yeah, I think so. I think the NFL is the one league that will sort of carry on quasi-normal.
Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan has confirmed he has torn his ACL, though, by
Ooh,
the way. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Huge issue there.
That's
for
a
the
blow
Titans
for them. Also. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Just seeing that across the ticker a second ago. Eagles tight end Zach Ertz out 3 to 4 weeks. So is Bellinger out for the World Series?
No.
Is it okay?
Well, I don't know about okay. They say that his range on his follow-through on his swing will be limited.
Really?
Luckily, he has a tight, compact swing that Braves fans know pretty well.
Saw it.
And they think he'll be okay, but like he doesn't need to dive for a ball and land on it or something crazy.
The Braves had the lead for at least half that game, into the seventh, whatever it was, I forget.
Well, but I was still awake when the base running thing happened in the fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
And that was a killer.
They had to play perfect. The bullpen was pretty taxed. And even early on, he got through the first two innings, but you and I both know what we saw. The Dodgers were really getting to Ian Anderson. It felt like a matter of time, and the Braves had to establish something there.
The Dodgers' at-bats reminded me of the Cubs in 2016.
Just
where they would wear you down. You'd look up and you're like Ian Anderson at the end of two innings was like 70 pitches.
Well, it was a deal where, I mean, Mookie Betts let off the game. He gets on after seven or eight pitches, and it just set a tone for the entire roster where what they do is they, and I can't imagine what it's like pitching against them, or managing against them actually is the better way to put it, because even as a very casual fan of that game last night, you look up and go, oh my God, this thing's got to be over, and it's like the fifth.
Yeah.
But you feel like the Dodgers have just worn on you and worn on you. And every half inning is hard and hard and hard. And it's just, I mean, that's the thing.
And when you had that opportunity with the base runners, you just, that double play, two outs on the bases like that just can't happen.
Because even just one run right there, psyche-wise, it.
Who's the the kid from Mississippi. He's the one that ran into the second
Austin
out.
Riley.
Yeah, you just can't. That can't happen. You either can't go or you got to go. There's no tentative.
4-3, by the way, the final there last night.
I've seen the replay of the home run. That's just that pitch that when you let it go, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to get where I needed it to get.
You're praying he just misses it at that point. Just please pop it up.
Yeah.
Miss it.
Oh, just barely miss it, please. Just, and then you hear that sound and.
Yeah, he didn't miss it.
Not even a little bit.
It was not the craziest catch in the world, but Betts does take the home run from Freeman there at one point in the game.
That was big.
Yeah. It really wasn't a hard ball to catch for a guy like Mookie Betts. Like, everybody went, oh my God. It's like, no. I mean,
no, but no, if you hit it 3 feet further, it's a home run.
Yeah.
Instead,
he didn't, and it was called.
I still like, if you're the Braves, you have to like where you are organizationally. You're right there. You're an absolute contender with a bunch of young players. I do think they have to consider. If I were the Braves, I would go study the Cubs of 2016. And here's why. Cubs won, and it made them overlook what was becoming a weakness. The Cubs fell in love. Their front office fell in love with all of those guys at the same time. And if you look at them now, Rizzo and Baez and Bryant and Schwarber, they're all the same guy. A lot of strikeout.
Mm-hmm.
Home runs, fun, good guys. Everybody likes those guys. Good people, good citizens. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. If you're the Braves, I do think you cannot allow yourself to be so in love with every young pitcher and with Austin Riley and with Christian Pash and some of those guys that you don't go make a move to get another impact bat in the middle of your lineup. You've got to be careful that you don't fall so in love with the people that you overvalue the player.
Yeah, because look, they won two playoff series. The window is so wide open. I mean, just as long as.
Yeah.
As long as.
Yeah. You got to make sure you don't do that. And they've got to be careful not to do it. And it's easy to do, I think, especially when you have a team like the Braves where you have so many good, young, likable players. And everybody gets along. I mean, Freddie Freeman's one of the nicest guys in the game. And I mean, he's a key guy. You're hanging on to him. You're hanging on to Acuna. But you got to be careful that you don't fall so in love, for example, with, I think Pash is the best example, Riley, Anderson, some of these different guys. You don't fall so in love with them that you're unwilling to entertain an opportunity to go out and get the kind of bat that you need to get you over the hump. Because they're a bat short.
Mm-hmm. They are a bat short.
They're that big bat in the middle of the lineup short. Because when Markakis, who's the guy hitting fourth for them yesterday? It hit me yesterday watching their lineup. you know, it's Acuna, and then it's Freeman, and then it's Ozuna, and then it's,
I forget who's hitting.
And there you go.
Yeah. But it's Dayon Arden, it's Swanson, and it's
yeah.
And Albies is up there.
Yeah, Albies is hitting like sixth, yeah. And Swanson's in the lineup, and but it's someone in thread up to help me. Who was hitting fourth for Atlanta's last night? And they've got a decision to make on Ozuna. He's a free agent.
They're not. The catcher was hitting fourth last night.
Yeah, Travis Darno.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good player, but he's not the cleanup hitter typically on a World Series team. And, you know, the Braves are like every other team in baseball. How much money is lost? Are you going to be able to have fans in the stadium? If so, how many? How comfortable will people be going to games? Now, I do think this. I think Atlanta's lucky that they're in the South. More people in the South are over this. Some of these Midwestern places, everybody's absolutely terrified of it. We'll see.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, Dodgers, Rays.
When's that start? Tomorrow night? Wednesday night?
I thought I saw tomorrow, but they got to get somebody somewhere, though.
And they go 7 straight days, correct?
Is it? I don't know. Let's see. Schedule, MLB. Game 1 Tuesday, 7 o'clock. No, Thursday's an off day at least.
Okay.
Let's see.
So they must go
Tuesday,
3-2.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So
okay.
It's a normal.
Back to a normal.
Yeah,
deal.
They're doing a normal week here. 2-3-2 for those two teams. So more podcasts throughout the week for you. Again, we'll still run that interview with Mike Bianco at some point this week. Probably Wednesday is a guess. I don't know that, but that's probably where we're leaning there.
Our plan, by the way, for Saturday is we'll come on no later than 9 a.m., Ole Miss and Auburn at 11, assuming that the game happens, which I think right now is an assumption. But that pregame show, Scoreboard Business, is brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. They've got all the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. You can visit them at 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or at therogue.com. You can also reach The Rogue at 601-362-6383, and remember, we're also brought to you by Heritage Properties, home to 3 communities in Oxford, Faulkner Flats, Cambridge Station, and Lexington Point. All 3 properties are multifamily housing. They all offer on-site management and maintenance. They're pet-friendly, and they offer short-term leases. Get in touch with them at live@faulknerflats.com or call 662-234-4558.
We'll be back tomorrow with another show around 1 o'clock. Appreciate all the interaction on the live stream, and we'll talk to you then.